Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Deep Cough and a Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and I want to talk to you a couple minutes today dealing with the fact of whose report shall you believe? You know, I believe we live in a society and a world where there's a lot of negativity, a lot of things going on around us. We hear everything from ISIS to, you know, just disappointments, disagreements, you know, people talking doom and gloom and this and that. And one of the things God's been dealing with me about is learning to keep our eyes focused on Him, learning to keep our eyes focused on the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you really stop to think about it, what is more important in the world? What's more important in society? What's more important than anything on earth? It is Jesus. It is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And knowing that He is the most important thing to focus on. And let's just face it, what you focus on, you become. What you focus on, you produce. Whatever it is you deal with in the sense of your visual, whatever it is you're thinking and pondering on, you become more like that thing. You either draw it more to your life, you expand it more into your life, you begin to become more like it, no matter if it's evil, and no matter if it's good, if it's holy, if it's good, if it's the God or the devil, or your neighbor, or pornography, or, you know, the glory, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is you give your full attention to, you think about, you ponder on, you're going to become like that. And when we're dealing with a society right now that's dealing with doom and gloom, even from a church point of view, a lot of preachers are so doom and gloom, bashing the president, bashing people, bashing things. But folks, in reality, we have to remember we are on a different wavelength. And when we begin to lower ourselves to bash this and do that, folks, you have to understand, many of you like that type of teaching. Many of you like that type of, you know, theatrics and drama of, you know, it's us versus them, because it makes a great war movie, does it not? Let's just face it, it makes a great war movie. But in actuality, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Take what by force? The kingdom of God. We don't take the world by force. We don't take on the president by force. We don't take on the government by force. We don't take on, you know, different things. We take on the kingdom of God by force, which means I should be more forcefully advancing in my thinking on the kingdom of God. So if that's the reality of my life, and that's the reality of a Christian's life, what is the kingdom of God? The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you know what? There's no being intense here, folks. There's a violence of taking on the kingdom of God that wants me to be what? More joyful. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So instead of me being violent in the area of being more intense with who's wrong, who's right, who do I listen to? You know, I'm tired of this in my government. I'm tired of this in the president. I need to raise up in this and do this and do that. Instead of that, we should be more kingdom-minded. We should be more Christ-conscious than we are sin-conscious. We should be more about the Father's business. And Jesus said, I'm going about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil. Jesus went about doing good things. Jesus did not come against a governmental authority. Jesus did not do this. Jesus came against religious people who were saying, look, your laws are killing people. Your legalism is frying people's brains. What I need to do is I need to let you understand as religious people that it's not about the things of this world. It's about a heavenly kingdom that speaks of righteousness, which basically means this. Righteousness means this. It doesn't mean your dues and don'ts and your long hair and your short hair and is my dress long enough? Do I show any flesh on my arm? It's not about those idiotic rules and regulations. It's about the kingdom that says your life should be that of joy. And righteousness means right standing. That's what righteousness means. It means right standing. It means standing upright in the arena you need to be living in. Standing upright before the Lord, and which means obedience is better than sacrifice. That's literally the definition of righteousness. It means right standing before the Lord, which means how does God want you to stand? And many of you think it means taking a stand. God didn't say, I want you to take a stand. God said, I want you to be right standing before me. Turn takes on a totally different meaning, does it not? And that's what the Greek means. It means right standing before the Lord. So it's time for us to stand right before the Lord in what it is God wants for me and God wants for you. And I'll tell you what He wants for me and you. What He wants from us is to look up and know that our redemption is drawing nigh. To focus on the author and finisher of our faith. To realize that He who began a good work in me is more than able to complete it. That says, you know what, go about and do good things, Jeremy. As you go about doing good things, healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil, then you know what? You're being like Jesus. You're speaking the language of Jesus. You're not bringing forth an antichrist mentality, which is something else because Jesus couldn't do it all, you know, or didn't do it good enough. No, you're being more like Him. You're standing in the shadow of the Almighty. And here's the reality of our lives, folks. God said, the battle is no longer yours. The battle is now mine. And so, if the battle belongs to God, let me ask you this question. All of your fighting, guess what, folks? It's just nothing more but vain. It's just in vain. But God says, lean not to your own understanding. In other words, don't lean to the understanding of how you feel you need to get involved in the politics of this world and that you need to get involved in fighting the government and coming against the president. No. It says, look, the peace of God will surpass all your natural understanding. Lean not to that own understanding. But in all of your ways, in all of your thinking, in everything that you do, acknowledge me. That's what it means. And so what God is asking for us today in the body of Christ is love. Birth forth love in the earth. The greatest weapon you have, folks, in the earth is love. You know why? Because everybody wants it. Everybody needs it. The problem is many people, they suffer from lack of knowledge and they don't realize what they're looking for. And they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And a lot of times, a lot of people are looking for love by being what? In a place of you know, let's say, for example, Islamic thinking in their religious ways. In the sense of, we got to take over the earth. We got to change people. We got to eradicate them. And then guess what, folks? I have news for you. There's a lot of Christians that are just like them, just like ISIS. Whether you like that or not, to hear that, there's a lot of Christians are just like ISIS. They want to basically get rid of everyone that is not walking like them, talking like them, acting like them. You know, if you're not acting like me of how I believe a Christian should act, guess what? You're gone. We need to get do away with you. And we have to remember that God made it very clear. You don't have to fight a natural battle, folks. I could care less about your political parties. I don't care about your issues of a president because the Bible says, God says in the Old Testament, He said, I'm the one that raises up kings. I'm the one that exalts them and brings them down. So why are you worried about something? I'm the one that's doing it. Why are we worried about something that God says He's the one that's doing it? Hello, that'll preach to you. Why are we worried about things in the earth when the God says, look, don't worry about the earth. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and everything in it. So everything in the earth, guess what? Bows down to the Lordship of Jesus. Which means God says, the earth is mine. The world is mine. That's what He says. The cosmos. That's what the world means in the Greek. Cosmos. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and everything in it. He says the cosmos is mine, and I'm the one that's in charge. I'm winning this ball game. So this is not about you getting involved in my business and my affairs. I've realized in my life we've got to learn not to get involved in God's affairs. And that's where we miss it as Christians. We're too busy getting involved in God's affairs. When God says, here's what I want you to do. Let me deal with my affairs of how I... Because I'm the only one that knows how to run the universe and the earth and your country. I'm the one who knows how to do that. What you need to do is be forcefully advancing in my kingdom. Be like me. Love your neighbors like you love yourself. Be forceful with your love. Carry out the commandments of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then loving your neighbor. Well, Lord, what if my neighbor's Muslim? What if my neighbor's Buddhist? You have nothing to worry about. The battle's not yours anyway. It's mine. I win the battle as you love. Do you know if obedience is better than sacrifice, that when we learn to obey Jesus and do what Jesus did, do you realize how much of a warfare takes place in the Spirit when we obey God and when we obey Jesus by loving those? In fact, He made it very plain. He says, in fact, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to trip you up here. Here's what God would say to you. He said, I'm going to trip you up as a church. I'm going to even prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to prepare a table and set it right before you in the presence of your your enemies. That's the God we serve. Not the God of, well, we gotta be forceful and take this president down. We gotta do this. We gotta eradicate the earth from these people. No, you know what? God is saying, you're not listening to me. God is saying, you're going outside of Christianity. That's why people, and here's the reality of it, folks. Do you know why Christianity has such a nasty, bad name? And to be honest with you, sometimes it's embarrassing to even tell somebody I'm a Christian. Because people look and say, oh, you're one of those people. Because we've seen such extremities in Christianity. Because people love theatrics. And they want to take over the role of God as opposed to submitting to God. The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. See, and he will flee. The Bible says to resist the devil, which means your job is to not come against on God's territory by fighting God's battles for him. Your job is to fight the good fight of faith. The entire New Testament deals with fighting the good fight of faith. What warfare do I fight? That of faith. To keep and maintain and sustain my faith in God, my passion in God, and my love for God. And everything else that's of this earth, God said, the earth is mine, the world's mine, everything in it belongs to me. I'm the one that deals with your presidents and kings. I'm the one that exalts them and takes them down. Get off my territory and get on the territory I want you to get on. And that is, become like my son. Decrease that my son can increase in your life. Become like him, because he knows what's going on. And the more you're like him, the more I can be about my business and you can be about your business as sons of God. Here's what God spoke to me the other day about, and this will set many of you free. You can't take the place of the Father, folks. The Father does the Father's business and job. You have to do your job, and that is, your job is that of a son. A son never dishonors his father by taking on the father's commands and doing what the father's doing on his turf and territory. It's disrespectful. For me to be able to go, if my father was alive today, for me to go into the house of my father and just take over and start doing what he does, it's the thing of dishonoring him, because I am not on my territory. I'm on his ground. I'm on holy ground, like the Bible talks about with Moses. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. When you get on holy ground before the Father, then you let the Father run the Father's show, the Father's business. Your job is to do what a son does. A son does what Jesus did. Jesus was the ultimate of the son of the sons. He was the only begotten son. And what he did was the biggest plan that the universe has ever known or could ever experience. He died and he decreased, that God could increase in his life. He loved those people that the world and religion says do not love. Let me tell you something. How can you tell who's sons of God and who's religious is when you hear certain preachers. I won't mention names because I don't do that because it's out of respect. But certain preachers who constantly bash other people, bash this community, bash these people. You know, the Pope is now the Antichrist and blah, 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 blah. These people, folks, listen to me. They're dangerous. Stay away from them because they're trying to run the Father's business, and the Father will not put up with that because it's disrespectful to him. Our job is to be sons of the Almighty God, and our example as sons is the ultimate son, and that is doing what he did. He went about doing good. He didn't deal with Caesar. Let me tell you something. You know why Jesus did not deal with Caesar? Because that was the Father's job to deal with Caesar. Why? Because the earth belongs to the Lord. And therefore, he knew how to be a good son. Jesus knew how to be a good son, to obey the commands of the Father of what to do as a son. And what our job is to do that as a son, not the job of the Father. And when you begin to get on the territory of God, thinking that your job is to dominate and control the earth and force presidents out of office and deal with the government and raise your banner in the streets by getting political and all this other stuff. Folks, you're dealing on territory that you don't have authority in. You're dealing in territory that God says the earth is mine, not yours. The earth belongs to me. And so you need to be like a good son and do what sons do, because the more you raise up as a son, that's why the Bible says creation moans and groans and travails. It's waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we manifest and align ourselves, position ourselves, get in the position and the place and the authority that we know we're supposed to do as sons, then and only then can the Father do His business, because the sons are finally now in obedience and they're not making some sacrifice to try to, you know, force God to do something. We're in obedience by aligning with what God told us to do as powerful, ultimate sons in the earth. So today, folks, take this word of the Lord. Take this broadcast. Run with it. Be who God wants you to be and has called you to be. Don't get on God's territory. Get on the territory God's promised you to be on. The kingdom is a blessing for us to move into, because the kingdom of God is inside of us. And it means to be right standing before God of, what does God want from me, God? In your perfect will. It's righteous. It's peace. Listen to me. Listen to what the God is saying to us, folks. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the peace of God that surpasses your natural understanding. What God is telling you to do today is, if you're truly a kingdom child, you know how I will tell it? Here's a great way, folks, for all my listeners. I want every one of you to take this test. Take this test and be able to test the body of Christ today. And say it this way. Say, if we're kingdom children, and if the kingdom resides in us, then we're going to do kingdom things. What does a kingdom son do? Well, let's examine what the kingdom means. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that the judgment begins in the house of the Lord. That means it begins inside of me. No, you're not. You are a temple of God. Judgment deals with you individually and me individually, which means I'm not here to judge others, because God told me not to judge others lest I be judged. He said, deal with it within your own house. My life is to judge the things that Jeremy does. Deal with the plank in my own eye. And as I'm beginning to do that, then I'm opening up the entrance of the kingdom of God to move in me. Why? Because it'll bring me to a place of how do I know I'm a king's son in the sense of the kingdom sonship? Here's how I will know. I will be right standing before God, which means I will stand right before God and what God wants for me in my life. Plus, righteousness, peace. I will display peace. I won't display confusion. I won't display division. I won't rally up the body of Christ as some kind of militant army to fight and to get political. That is not what Jesus ever spoke about, folks. Listen to me. You will never hear Jesus ever mention the word army. You will never hear Jesus talk about getting political. You will never hear Jesus talk about come against Caesar. You will never hear Jesus talk about these things, because he knew a son does not do that. It's not the son's job. It's the father's job. And therefore, the kingdom says righteousness, peace, and joy. How can you tell if ministers or yourself or your friends or your neighbors in the church are kingdom people? They will display the right standing before God. They will be ultimately at a place of divine peace. Everything in their life will display such a Prince of Peace mentality. And then joy. They'll be so happy because they know that God's already won the war and the battle. That's what it means to represent the kingdom. Anything outside of that, let me tell you, anyone that gets in this arena of having to feel as if they have to play the political card, have to come against the president, the government, the systems, and now it's not good enough to come against the world. Now we have to get inside the precious, beautiful body of Christ, and now we have to call the Pope the Antichrist now. You know, because now he's for this and now he's for that. Now we have to come against the Catholics. Now we have to come against, and then we start going on and on until ultimately we destroy ourselves, because religion loves to destroy us. Religion would love nothing more than to destroy everything in its path. And folks, the sad thing is, that's what many people that you guys are listening to out there, that's what's going on. They're creating a path of destruction. And what a man sows, he reaps. The more bees you stir up with getting out of sonship, doing what you're not supposed to be doing, and trying to act like the Father in the earth, you're stirring up bees. And if you stir up bees, let me tell you something, God will not protect you. There'll be no protection. And what you call persecution will be nothing more than opening up the door for your own stupidity. And I have news for you, folks. You will reap what you sow. You plant seeds of discord within the Muslim community, you're going to reap stuff back. It's not persecution for Jesus. You sow seeds of discord in the earth. Let's say, for example, with Hollywood or stirring up bees in places where there's political power in the systems of this world, that God made it very plain that these systems in the last days will be flipped over to His kingdom. But that's His job, not yours. If you do that, you're going to reap back discord. support. And I have news for you folks. There's a lot of angry religions and people and denominations. Now we're coming against the Catholics. There's a lot of people we are sowing seeds of discord to. And we're cutting them down. We're calling them bad names. And here's what's happening. Guess what? What we have sown, the church is about to reap back. And it will have nothing to do with persecution whatsoever. It'll be the fact that God says, you created this mess. You're creating discord and you're making people mad. And when you do that, you better expect, if you can dish it out, you better take it back. And folks, listen to me now. We have to be very careful to know what is persecution means. You're being persecuted for the sake of the gospel, not the sake of your mouth, not the sake of you smarting off to governments and presidents. You know, if the president right now came and said, I'm putting this person in jail, how many of you would say, oh wow, see, he is the Antichrist. He's putting a Christian in jail. And that's what you would believe. Because even a major, huge Christian magazine right now is stirring up this twisted, warped mentality of that reality. And guess what, folks? Has nothing to do with persecution for Jesus' sake. You're being persecuted because you're speaking against someone who says, look, I'm the president. I'm the government. I'm not going to put up with you bashing me. Yeah, we have freedom of religion. But guess what? People are not going to put up with it much longer the more you bash them and talk bad about them. When the Bible makes it plain, pray for those in authority over you. That we're talking New Testament. Everything I'm dealing with you is New Testament, folks. The Bible says, pray for those in authority over you. He didn't say this. And every one of you catch me on this. Nowhere do you ever read where in the New Testament it says, pray for the authorities over you only if they're Christian people. It doesn't say that. It says, pray for those in authority over you. And he never alluded to a religious situation. Because God loves protocol. And he says, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and the mighty hand of God is the one that raises kings and exalts them and brings them down. And therefore, you have to remember, folks, if you want to be in the shelter of the Most High God, protected by God, having God show you favor and promotion, guess what? Then be a son and not the father. Be about the master's business by being a son and minding the business of sonship, not minding the business of someone else, which is the father in which you serve. You're getting into a territory, folks, that you can't deal with. It's not, you don't have that kind of authority to deal with what God's authority is saying and holds in the earth. So we have to learn to get under sonship. And so this message on this broadcast today, I hope will be a blessing to you. I want you to please consider it. Take it to heart. And remember, our job, folks, is to love. Our job is to display a peace. Our job is to bring forth hope. Our job is to sit under the master when he said upon the mount, and he spoke about the Beatitudes. Here is what you're called to do. You know, long-suffering, the merciful, you know, those who hope, those who do this. He's talking about those people that are sons of God. Folks, this is our responsibility and our job. This is your obedience right here, is the Beatitudes, to display and live out the Beatitudes. This is the reality of what God said through his Son. Son, the only begotten Son, the best Son, the example Son, is this is how other sons and daughters live their lives. And so folks, today, remember that. Take it to heart, run with it. And remember, God is in control. Okay? And if he's in control, then my job is to have fun as a son. Have fun as a son and walk in peace and right standing and joyful for the Lord. And therefore, guess what? I'm opening up the gates, the ancient gates of the kingdom of God in me. And I'm inviting people to say, hey, you want to know how I make it in a world that's chaotic? This is how I make it in a world that's chaotic. Because people are not going to be blessed and want to come to you to receive what you have if you're getting in the chaotic world and stirring up bees by coming against them. That's not biblical in the New Testament. It's not how we function and flow. And let's just face it, folks. No one wants that kind of discord and that type of fight. It's not our battle, folks. It's God's battle. So I just bless every one of our listeners. I thank God so much for the body of Christ and those who are learning to change and become more like Jesus and live in the New Testament. This is our call. This is the honor of the saints, folks, is to be more like him. By the way, I want to encourage you guys in something. I just put out a brand new book. called Entering into the Dream Dimension. Entering to the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal. It's a number one seller right now on our website. It is skyrocketed on Amazon. I'm telling you right now, folks, go to our website, identitynetwork.net. Order the book or the ebook, Entering into God's Dimension. Entering into the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal. I'll say it again. Entering into the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal. If you want to order the book, go to the website or give our office a call at 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. Until our next broadcast, go and be like the sun, because you are a sun today. God bless.